not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us. We do want to call your attention to our website, www.gospeldynamite.org. On there you'll find a number of resources and much to do and much to say about our ministry. We have video lessons, we have podcasts, and we have merchandise on there that will bless your heart, and we trust that you'll take part in that. Now, let's go into the message of the Word of God. You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me back to Romans chapter 2. We want to look at verses 17 through 29 this morning as we consider the subject, God's judgment of the religious man. God's judgment for the religious man. We've journeyed through the first two chapters of this great book, and we've spent considerable amount of time discussing the wrath of God. We've come to understand the reasons why God is angry with sin, and we've come to understand that there are some groups of people against whom God has committed himself to act in wrath. In chapter 1, verses 24 through 32, we saw that God will judge the sinner. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, God tells us that his wrath is against the hypocrite. Now we embark on these verses that we're going to look at this morning, and it tells us about God's judgment of the religious man. We begin reading in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his circumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, many people believe that being religious is a good thing. However, those same people fail to realize that religion will send you straight to a devil's hell. Now, these verses will teach us this morning that it's not what we do externally that saves our souls, but it's what we do internally with Jesus Christ that determines where we will spend eternity. Now, as we finish these last verses of chapter 2, let's look at them very carefully. And while the Lord is speaking directly to the Jewish people and their boast in the law, he could just as well be speaking to Baptists or Methodists or Episcopalians or anyone this morning. He's speaking to Gentiles as well. We need to know that hell would be filled with just as many religious people as those who are in the rank and file of sin. So now let's spend the rest of our time this morning looking at God's judgment of the religious man. Verses 17 through 20, we see the spiritual competence of a religious man. The Jews were probably in agreement with Paul concerning his statements about the judgment of the wicked, but now the microscope is turned on them. I might add that we are the same way. When we hear about certain groups coming under judgment, we get all self-righteous and we say a heartfelt amen. However, we should check up on ourselves and be sure that we're not living in deception. Nothing could be worse than dying and going to hell after believing that you were headed to heaven. Be sure to look at yourself and your salvation. Line it up with the Word of God. And if there's something out of kilter, then you need to spend time with the Lord Jesus in the Word of God and make your salvation sure according to the Word of God. Now, these people could trace their religious ancestry all the way back to Abraham. Somehow they felt that this type of lineage gave them an ironclad guarantee of salvation. My friend, nothing could have been further from the truth. The same is true in Christian circles today. Millions of people since the time of Christ have claimed to be Christians simply because they were the children or the grandchildren of believers. That, however, can save absolutely no one. That can save not one person. Some people even believe they're Christians because they're born in a so-called Christian nation. Again, they are living a lie. And that's why they're basing their hope on their salvation on this, and it's nothing but a lie. It's a personal decision. It depends on what you and you alone individually do with Jesus Christ. One only becomes a Christian by placing his faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now, the Jews somehow felt that the law and the rituals it described gave them a certain higher standing in the eyes of the Lord. They felt that just possessing the law and knowing it was enough to put them in a right relationship with God. Paul would go on to tell them before he is finished that it is the knowledge of the law that holds them to a higher standard than those who do not have the law. And what they thought was a guarantee of salvation turns out to be a guarantee of condemnation. And to put this on a level where we can all understand it, imagine for a moment that a person is raised in church. All of his or her life, they are around Christian things. They sing Christian songs. They hear Christian sermons. They read the Christian Bible. And he participates, or her, they participate in what we would call rituals, yet they are Christian. If he or her, if they're not careful, they will begin to think that because of those things in their life, they are automatically a Christian. Nothing could be farther from the truth. What you know will all be held against you if it is not believed and practiced in your life. Again, they claimed a special relationship with God by virtue of the law and their religious activity. They felt that being religious was enough to please the Lord. And they were absolutely wrong. Folks, I want to let you in on a little secret this morning. You can't please God. No matter how good you get, you will never be good enough to please the Father. You'll find that in Isaiah 64 and verse 6 and Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. You can memorize the Bible, refrain from committing every sin in this book, and you can still go to hell if you miss the one and only thing that will save your soul. And that is a salvation experience where you have placed your faith in the personal work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Romans 10:9 and 10. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The bottom line is that we can say anything we please, but until we have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are still hell-bound sinners. However, when the blood of Jesus is applied to a life, that life is instantly pleasing to the Lord, and we're accepted by God on the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6. And verses 19 and 20, they had boasted in their leadership. Because the Jew had a spiritual lineage, because they had the law, because they felt they were in a relationship with God, they felt superior to everyone else on the planet. They felt it was their responsibility to show everyone else the way. Certainly the idea was fine, but the motive of the heart was absolutely wrong. These people did not even know who God was. There was no way they could point anyone else to the Savior. All they could accomplish was to make disciples to their dead religion and cause even more souls to be condemned to hell. This is exactly the situation that Jesus addressed in Matthew 23. Now this same kind, this same brand of hypocrisy is still being played out in the world today. A religious person will try to force everyone else to conform to their way, their standard of living. If they don't act like him, if they don't dress like him, if they don't talk like him, then they're lost and they're headed to hell. My friends, that's called legalism. And that literally makes God sick. The person who tries to make one conform to their standards as a means of pleasing God probably doesn't know God to begin with. Our duty is not to point men to our haircut or to our manner of dress or to our manner of worship or to our method of worship. Our duty is to point men to our Savior. And if they come to Jesus and He saves them, He will make them into what He wants them to be. I guarantee you, if Christ changes the inside of the heart of an individual, then it will begin living on the outside of that individual as well. You'll see an evidence of Christ in the heart. You'll see an evidence of the Holy Spirit when that person is saved. Now, before we move on in these verses, we need to understand that the Jews made great and lofty claims concerning their relationship to God. However, none of these was able to ever produce salvation for the Jew. There was one thing that saved them, one thing that saves now, and one thing that will always save forever. Faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Now in verses 21 through 24, we see the spiritual contamination of a religious man. As these religious men were telling everyone else how wrong they were merely deceiving themselves and others because they were just as guilty as the persons they were trying to convert. They were busy practicing all that they were preaching against. There's a word for that kind of attitude. It's called hypocrisy. The same is still true this morning. Watch out, believer, watch out for people who are always telling others how right they are and how everyone ought to be just like them. Often they're guilty of the very things they're despising in others. Sometimes the sin's not external at all, but it lies within the heart. Jesus made it very plain that sin in the heart is just as evil as sin in the flesh. Matthew 5:28. Now another interesting verse is found in 1 John 3:15. The Bible says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. If there's hatred in your heart towards another, then you are not saved. You see all the hatred being borne out into the world today in the streets of America, claiming that people are against racism when they're inciting racism and fear and hate in trying to relay their message. Folks, that's not of God. God is not the initiator or the author of confusion or hate or racism. Racism is a matter of the heart. If you hate someone, then you are not saved. You are not born again. You do not have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you are on the way to a devil's hell. Now, that's the Word of God. And my friend, America has to get back to the truth that this Bible is the Word of God. Churches have to get back to the truth that this Bible is the ultimate authority. This Bible is the Word of God. This Bible is inerrant. It is inspired. It is infallible. It is the Word of God. The Jews, their practice did not match their profession. My friend, that's the same thing going on in our churches this morning. Our lives do not match our profession. Until we get our heart right and repent of our sin, then we're not going to be effective. We certainly don't even resemble being saved individuals. Now, their practice did not match their profession. They were guilty of dishonoring God. Little did they realize that when they broke the law they claimed to love so dearly, they were guilty of treating the Lord shamefully, treating Him with contempt. Many fail to recognize the truth today that sin still dishonors the Lord. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, Joseph responded by telling her that it would be a sin against God to lie with her. Genesis chapter 39. Later, when David was confessing his sin with Bathsheba, he stated that his sin had been against the Lord. Psalm 51 and verse 4. Sin still dishonors the Lord. And when we sin, we're saying that He is a God to despise and not be honored. Regardless of what your lips profess, our lives prove how we feel about the Lord. What does your life say about Him this morning? Now notice with me in verse 24, they were guilty of destruction because they lived the way they did while claiming to be God's people. They were guilty of blasphemy. By their false profession, they destroyed the credibility of God. This is most important. God's name is on the line. Anytime we live in a manner that is inconsistent with what we claim to be, we're guilty of blaspheming the name of the Lord. We have taken His name in vain. We have testified before the world that our God is not worthy of our love and steadfast devotion. When we hide our light under a bushel and cease to be salt in the world, we become no better than the religious Jews who boasted about their law and their relationship with God, but had no spiritual reality to back up their claims. And as a result, the world was turned away from God and not to Him as He intended. Folks, it's still happening this morning. Search your heart. Search your life. And see if we're spiritually contaminated. Verses 25 through 29, we see the spiritual condemnation of the religious man. God is not going to allow us to get by with this. Verse 25, they're condemned by the reality of their sins. The Jew felt that God would accept him just because he had been circumcised. The rabbis even taught that Abraham sat outside the gate of hell and refused to allow any circumcised Jew to enter. Albeit, Paul tells them that their rest should be something a little bit deeper. He tells them that even if they are circumcised, when they refuse to keep the law in God's sight, it is as if they were just another heathen. And as he will tell them in just a moment, salvation is deeper than the skin. Paul is telling them that what they do outwardly proves what they are inwardly. Now look at our attitude. Think of how foolish we've been. But there's still multitudes that hold the same notions this morning. In Christian circles, it isn't circumcision, but it's things like baptism. It's things like communion. It's things about church membership. Well, my parents were saved. My grandparents were saved. All of these are looked upon as proof of one's salvation. Friend, it isn't true. It is not true. Just like the Jew, when there's a genuine salvation in the heart, there's going to be holy living in the flesh. According to Jesus, the fruit of a life proves where that life is rooted, Matthew chapter 7. Now, Paul goes on to tell the Jews that when the people they despised and looked down on live lives pleasing to the Lord, and they have their hearts right with God, they were accepted by God instead of the Jew. In fact, God tells him that the righteousness of these people judged the religious man as a sinner. Now, there's a vast difference between the religious person who keeps the law and tries to live right to please God and the saved person who lives right because of a changed heart. The first type of person cannot succeed forever. When this life is ended, they will be unmasked for what they are, and they're going to suffer loss, and they're going to suffer the flames of hell. On the other hand, that person who wasn't very religious but had their faith in Jesus Christ will experience all the glories of heaven. Yeah, some might say, well, that's just not fair. Oh, but it is. You see, Paul's final argument, verse 29, against the religious man is to inform him that the true religion is not a matter of hands, feet, the eyes, the heads, and the lips. It is, however, a matter of the heart. You see, God only will accept those who have placed their faith in nothing, nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not praise those who strove to keep the letter of the law, but He will praise those who loved His Son. Friend, we must never be deceived in believing that we can somehow please the Lord, or that we can be good enough to get into heaven on the basis of our religious experience. We must understand that salvation will always only be given to those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in conclusion, how would you describe yourself? Would you describe yourself as a religious person, or would you describe yourself as a redeemed person? You see, preacher, why are you spending so much time on this matter? Because, friend, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe that Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. And I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And I believe that there is a time that you need to make sure that you are born again. I'm not talking about tempting you to doubt your salvation. I'm talking about making your salvation sure. Having a Bible reason that you know you are born again. There is a difference, my friend. That difference will determine where you spend eternity. It's my prayer that every person who is under the sound of my voice will be moved to lose their religion, and that they will find redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him this morning as Savior, there is no better time than to get that thing settled right now. Consider Christ. Consider Him. if you will come to Jesus Christ, He will save your soul. There was also a strong word in these verses about being what you claim to be. If they were placing Christians on trial for their faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you in a court of law? If the law showed up at your home this morning and arrested you on the basis that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is there enough evidence in your life of being a believer in Jesus Christ to convict you in a court of law? Or would you have to plead guilty to a life that dishonored God? You know your heart. Only you and God knows your heart. Come and do business with Him. Come and do business with God. Bow your head right where you are and say, God, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I believe that you're coming soon and I want to be ready for your appearing. And God will bless you, my friend. God will give you that calm assurance that only comes from the Word of God and only comes from the redemption of Jesus Christ. Come to Christ today.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.